Hey, this is Neil Burns from Draw the Line. You're listening to Monday Night Talk on WATD. I'm back in the saddle again, baby.
And we are back here on Monday Night Talk. And once again, I want to thank all the folks who were involved, who called in. You know, we lost Ed Thorne part of the way. He at least got to say something. Staying on board, Steve Amico is going to kind of hang out for the remainder of the show and put his two cents in from time to time. I know that what State Rep Jeff Deal is going to talk about is something that you might want to share your comments. And we also invite folks to call in during, of course, let the state representative have a chance to kind of explain his tax amnesty plan. But we will take your call at 781-837-4900. And as I was kind of, I backtracked myself, but we want to thank not only the folks from NSTAR. I mean, that, you know, to be able to kind of face that kind of conversation, at least they hung in there and they talked. And then even the folks who were here and talking, thank you very much. Now, Representative Deal, what are you working on? You have a 7-point plan, do you not?
I do have a 7-point plan. Thanks for having me here. Good to see everybody. Thanks for having me in. Yeah, I wanted to talk. First of all, I want to see if anybody wants to follow along with this thing, they should go to my website, which is www.jeffdeal.com. That's GeoffDiehl.com. If you go to that page, you're going to see on the right a thing that says 7 reasons not to raise taxes in Massachusetts. Click on it, and you can follow along with me on this list, and I'll be brief on each one because it's right there in black and white. But I got to tell you, you know, again, Senator Hedlund was talking earlier about the bill that's in conference right now. Yep. That looks to increase revenues, the code word for taxes. And I think we can make a good case as to why we don't need to actually raise taxes, and we can still try to fund, you know, what we need here in the state. So real quickly as a background, the past 5 months, our state revenues grown. April collections were $359 million over benchmark. So that's 71% of what the House voted in new taxes. All right. Now, when you add in the previous months, April tax collections are up 14.3%. Year to date, we're at 5.5% over 2012. That's $510 million above benchmark. And we just, again, in the House, voted to raise taxes by a total of $500 million. Now, some of it's gas tax, some of it's cigarette tax, some of it, as the senator was talking about before, is a pass-through with NSTAR and National Grid of about $100 million. And so what we're trying to do is say, look, you don't need to raise those new revenues, and you can still get that $500 million. So that's number one on my list of 7 reasons. Number two, as you mentioned earlier, was my tax amnesty plan. I filed it in the House. It didn't pass. It's now being in the Senate. It's in the Senate budget version, which gets debated Wednesday. Senator Bruce Tarr, the minority leader for the House or Senate, has that filed, and I'm going to be asking people to contact their senators to support that, because it's been tried in other states, and I just want to tell you some recent numbers on this. New Jersey being the biggest one. New Jersey has a similar collections debt in their state. We have $3.6 billion owed to us by residents and corporations. Now, New Jersey did a very aggressive plan, spent about $10 million on collections agency and $2 million on advertising, and they were able to get back $600 million just from their tax amnesty plan. Now, if we did this and had only 15% participation back, we would have $540 million. Again, more than we would need to offset the tax increase they want to do. And, you know, a part of that, too, is it's not just getting the money into the state. It gets individuals who have liens against them or corporations with state liens against them to get that off their back and actually start growing again, helping individuals maybe get that loan for a car they need to get to work. So there's a multiplier effect to the benefit of it. And again, it should, in my opinion, should never have gotten shot down. I'm hoping it goes through in the Senate. Real quick, number three, too. We've already increased taxes this year. It's sort of a hidden one. There was a deal made with Amazon.com that they're going to start collecting sales tax from Massachusetts. Tax, right. So we don't even know the amount on that, although we anticipate it's going to be quite a bit of money. So this is more free money that's coming in for the governor to spend that we think could be put towards not increasing those taxes on people right now. Number four, the Patrick administration has had some mismanagement issues with DTA. The crime lab scandal out of public safety is going to cost us estimated about $332 million. Now, this is money we can't get back, but we think that, you know, if they were just managed better, we could do a better job. Now, for example, the USDA is suing the Massachusetts for $27 million to repay SNAP benefits that were given out to people without being even checked. I know you guys were, I think, talking earlier about housing benefits given out without checking for verification.
Correct.
And it's the same thing going on with SNAP benefits. I mean, it's across the board, a lot of these transitional services. So that's another area we think there could be savings if it's managed better. And here's a big one. Tax increases being bad for the economy. Again, this isn't an exact dollar amount back to us, but Chief Executive Magazine just ranked Massachusetts 47th out of 50 states on best to do business with. And I got to read you some of these CEO comments. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's been made the news recently. One quote from a CEO that was in the article was saying, "If I were designing hell for a company, I couldn't do as good a job as Massachusetts has. We'll be leaving the state within the next year." That's just one comment. Another one, "We're moving out of California, Michigan, Massachusetts, and New York in 2013 and terminating our employees there. The regulatory and tax environment has become untenable." And I think the last one I'll read to you real quick is, "Taxation and regulation are always the key barometers. Massachusetts and Oregon are the worst." So I think if we're going to look forward to, you know, better revenues for the future with taxes coming in, we got to make a better business environment. So that's number five. We got two more quick, and then I know you want to weigh in on this.
Chomping at the bit. We want to jump
all over. Exactly. Number six is the other thing. Tax increases are going to hurt the middle class and working poor. Right now, the Massachusetts household income has dropped 1.8% as of last year. So the 3-cent tax hike is going to take more money out of families' wallets. All right, and it's also tied to inflation. So as the Fed stops printing money and inflation starts to go up, that gas tax is actually going to go up too. So that's going to hurt more.
Yikes.
And finally, number seven, Massachusetts has a spending problem. Over the past 20 years our state's budget has grown from $13 billion to $33 billion.
Right.
That's a 250% increase. It's $1 billion a year acceleration in just the past 20 years. All right? So, again, I don't think there's any need to raid the taxpayers' wallets, and there's no emergency if we were to enact a lot of these rational measures. So I want people to go to my website, jeffdeal.com. Take a look at that. Give me your reasons. Call in here, too. I want people to call in and tell me what they think. But that you can weigh in on my website. You can click there and go to a form, fill it out, and tell me what you think, because I want to be debating this again when it comes out of conference.
Jeff, I have one question for you, though. On the on number three, when you mentioned Amazon, is that going to be all internet sales, or is it just for Amazon?
It is actually. It's sort of a brick-and-mortar fairness tax act, so it's going to be – Amazon was sort of the lead to get it going. Kind of like how Massachusetts was, if they didn't participate in Common Core for education, it wasn't going to really happen. Same thing. Amazon had to kind of dive in to make the other ones, you know, fall in place. And so that's what they're going to do, is make sure that all online – and most of them are voluntary now doing it anyway, but we had to – we enacted a fairness tax for internet.
That's going to be substantial.
Well, that's all well and good, but where would you hope that money – is there a plan if – that tax amnesty, if folks are, let's say if this legislation passes, is there a designated area other than for other pork barrel projects, can the money go back to, I mean, I sat and watched two town meetings, you sat and watched the town meeting. What's being done to put money back in the local aid?
It's painful at the local level, and that's the thing. This is like where the governor kind of has it both ways. He did 9C cuts, which took away money from the local level this year, enacted 9C cuts, $200 million, a little over $200 million, okay? Now, because the tax revenue is coming in above benchmark, we got a notice.
Does he want to do a sub budget or something? I thought he said something about
it. Oh, no. There's another spending budget because we now have free money. That's free money. $500 million above benchmark. We can spend that. But the fact of the matter is he cut 9C, $200 million. We had a letter to the governor, and Representative Cutler from Hansen was a co-signer on that thing. The governor acquiesced and returned a whopping less than 10%, $20 million back to the whole state. So that's going to get divided by 351 cities and towns. Not what we needed. We needed the whole thing returned. We should have restored the entire 9C cuts. And on top of that, again, they should be, you know, putting money towards education where it's hurting us. Look, let's face it.
All paying for the unfunded mandates that towns.
Yeah, and I know you guys want to weigh in, but let me just say one thing. The governor ran back in 2006 on property tax relief. Right. I don't know where the heck that whole mentality is gone, because when you take away money from the towns, now they can't fund the schools. They're having to pass overrides and property tax increases. So we're going the opposite direction when he takes his free money and spends it elsewhere instead of returning it back to the town. So I'm getting a little bit upset, and I got to be honest with you.
No, but we like that frustrating.
Sure,
okay. Sure.
We just had that in the town of Hanson where we had an override that was that was a failed override this past weekend, and that was money for the schools. And most of that is because of unfunded mandates that the schools are getting taxed with. The towns are now starting to see it, you know, on their stormwater management. I mean, the highway department. It's getting to be, you know, they're expecting us to pay for a lot of the stuff that's going on, and yet where are we going to get the money? We have to get the money from the taxpayers, and it's unfair to our residents because we have to go after them for overrides.
Yeah, and I got to say, honestly, you know, it's squeezing us indirectly, and it's hard to see it, but we're getting squeezed everywhere. When they pulled the Quinn bill funding, towns had to pick up the tab for, you know, education of police chiefs and the staff and officers, and so that money was gone. We've been trying to fight for something to return there. And where does it get spent? I mean, some of it goes towards, you know, investments that they see for the future, like you know, these Evergreen Solar panel, that company that ended up taking their tax credits and leaving, film tax credits that haven't necessarily created the investment they wanted. So, I mean, it's kind of taking public money and gambling on private industry that I think, you know, those industries should be bearing the risk themselves.
Don't you think that part of this plan should be to almost audit and oversee the money that we're currently spending before we bring any new money into the mix?
Yeah, well, you know what's funny? Jay Kaufman's the chairman of revenue. He's a state rep. He's chairman of revenue for the House. And he had a bill that, similar to mine, we both filed in the House budget, that created a sort of a similar thing to the what D.C. has, which is it analyzes bills and lets you know the cost of things that go on, the spending, the new spending that's going to be planned. And it was shot down, shockingly, although it was a bipartisan you know, effort to try to put some checks in place where we figure out what the cost of any new legislation is going to be, anything, because they do it in D.C. and they score it, and we don't score it here in Massachusetts. We just, you know, if we need money, the federal government tends to help bail us out. They can print new money. We can't. And, you know, our budget, $33, $34 billion, a third of it is federal spending to help, you know, get us up to par. So, I mean, again, when you have free money come in, the spending seems like it can never end. And now this, like I said, this extra revenue that's come in is just $500 million more to play with.
So do you think that any of the money that would come in under any of the parts of this plan, all of it would be spent and none of it would be set aside for any reason?
Well, what we did do is for the tax amnesty plan, put a $10 million earmark towards police training. That was one thing. The other, a lot of it goes towards rainy day, which has been depleted too. I mean, we did, look, it's like playing the same old tune. We just took $550 million out of rainy day fund a few months ago to pay for some of it as a down payment towards the crime lab scandal, the whole Annie Dukin thing with the prison, all the testing of the drugs and all that. So we've already spent $550 million out of rainy day. I was saying we should, when taxes are above benchmark, take some of that money and put it back into rainy day. They voted not to do that. Like I said, whenever there's new money that comes in that's not already figured out, they're going to spend it.
Jeff, I have to ask you, kind of hit the nail right on the head on a question that I was going to ask you earlier. You're talking about the state doesn't have a revenue problem. The state has a spending problem. Well, it's fairly clear that if you took in $550 million more, they should be looking at restoration of some of the current things that Joe talked about to move forward. And one of the things, obviously, that I'm going to talk to you about is education. When you have unfunded mandates, and a lot of people don't understand the unfunded mandates that get thrown at school districts, it cripples the budget of a school district. In fact, we had a local resident say that, well, maybe it's because there's too many administrators. But I don't think this particular person understands that when you have all of the things that the state is making school districts do, you need more people to do the paperwork.
Well, I can tell you, Whitman-Hanson as a regional school is a perfect example of the state not living up to regional promises. I mean, this was supposed to be a deal where, you know, regional transportation was funded originally at 100%. It's, what, down?
We've never got 100%.
Never got 100%. It's down 40, 50%. It's sometimes, you know, we've tried to tie it into the overall Chapter 70. And by the way, Chapter 70 formula doesn't really help suburban towns or the regional schools in the suburbs because it doesn't reflect, again, absolving people of mandates that are focused really on the problems in urban centers, okay? And what they're trying to do is, you know, increase it with free them up with charter schools so they can have some turnarounds up there. But the problem with charter schools is, again, that money needs to now come out of school budgets that are, you know, Chapter 70 funding. It's new schools that need new transportation funds and all the other things that go along with it. So it's an additional sort of bleeding of the Chapter 70 funds that are already short in our towns.
Well, if the charter schools were going to be the answers and they thought they were going to be the answers, they should regulate the results, and they don't. They regulate the results of a public school to make sure that the education is worthwhile, but then they don't on a charter school. And we could talk about this for days, and I know that Kevin's got a question. So,
well, no, it's not so much that I have a question. I just want to thank Jeff for coming in. We'll probably get another 5 minutes. So if folks have any questions about what he's talking about with this tax amnesty plan, call in 781-837-4900. I would ask you at this time is what kind of support? I know it didn't do well in the House when you tried to put it forth. How do you feel it's getting support in the Senate side of things? Is that because that's what you're doing now, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It did have House support. I actually had somebody try to amend it on the floor from the Democrat side to actually enhance the plan. Mm. I ended up getting, I think, close to 40 votes, which is more, you know, a good amount more than the Republican caucus. So it did have a little bit of traction, but I think what ultimately it's the Speaker, the Senate President, you know, who are going to decide whether something lives or dies. Now, I'm hoping that this year they determine that it is useful to try to have this revenue come in. If worst case, you know, next year we could do it, but I think that's too late. We already need the money now. And again, it's something that's had success in other states. And in fact, here's the other thing. The federal government does a tax amnesty as well on federal money owed, and they've done it successive years in a row. If you look at it, there's a recent article that talks about it's been done for the last 5 years each year. And people say, well, if you offer it that much, people are just going to say, well, I don't have to worry about paying my taxes. I'll just wait till the next amnesty. The fact of the matter is, it's like bankruptcy. You can't declare a tax amnesty benefit, which, by the way, is allowing people to pay their underlying taxes without having the penalties and fees that have grown on top of it. It just gets them to clear their name, and it gets the revenue in. And you know what? Again, they can only take advantage of it once, and that's it. So it's not like it's going to be I'm going to wait around until the best time for me, and I'll do it the next year and the next year. It's not like that. It's a one-time thing for each company or individual, and it gets them off the hook, and again, it gets that revenue in.
I think it's a great idea. I still think that I think they have to focus on the cities and towns as well. And I see it on our end. I see it on the school end. Whitman, I know Whitman is going for a very large override on
June 25th, Steve.
$800,000.
And that includes not only the schools, but it includes some of their operating budgets as well. We just were able to do it on just the schools this year. And, you know, we used our free cash this year for other expenditures, such as a new truck. A fire chief needed a new vehicle, new cruises for the police department. I mean, I think these are the things that free cash is supposed to be used for, and not to support your operating budget. But unfortunately, they keep cutting back on the towns, and the towns are having to use free cash for their operating budget. And they don't even know what free cash is going to be the next week. The next year.
Sure. So I guess if you guys had to choose between, because the bill that the governor proposed, you know, the money went to transportation. However, there's obviously a consensus here that local aid is extremely important. So if you had to choose between the two of a overall transportation spending or local aid, which one would you choose the money to go to?
Definitely local aid. Not even a question.
Boy, that was a great answer, Jeff.
Bob's right. And the other thing is, and Steve's right too, and this is the thing, transportation, we shouldn't even be talking about transportation until they enact the reforms that they were supposed to enact a while ago. You know, I don't know if you guys know this, but the pension fund for the MBTA is one of the last state funds that wasn't put online or for view by people. Yep. You know, obviously this was the agency where if you wanted to put 20 years and retire, you know, start at 18, be done by 38, and then bang out into retirement, do something else, and collect a nice big fat pension, that was where you went. And transportation hasn't put in all the reforms that were required by the legislature a few years ago. So quite honestly, there's a lot of fat still in transportation before they see some money. Take the big dig debt off the MBTA. I agree with that. Have the state take responsibility for that. But the other thing is, there's a lot of reforms in the MBTA that weren't done. And so we need to see that too, and get that money back to local aid.
Last question of this segment with you is, we got Mark Valentine, the curator of the national flags. What has been the argument against the tax amnesty? What have you been hearing from folks who are not for this? What's the main?
Well, the worst argument I heard was on the floor of the House. Somebody said, this is going to help 1%. This is only specifically set up to help 1%ers, corporations, you know, big corporations that owe a lot of money. Mm. And I said, Actually, the last time Massachusetts enacted a tax amnesty, they specifically targeted offshore accounts. So they were actually trying to nail offshore accounts and get them to pay up what they were owed. But they only collected $29 million out of $3.6 billion owed. They only collected $29 million? Yeah. It was a small amount compared to what was overall owed. They just cherry-picked a low-hanging fruit. The fact of the matter is you're helping people with a tax amnesty plan, not helping 1%. You're helping individuals and small businesses try to move forward with their lives and get past the bill. If they can pay it now, let's let them pay it, and let's let them move forward.
Folks want to find out more information on the website?
www.jeffdiehl.com. That's GeoffDiehl.com. My mom wanted to punish me for some reason with that first name.
Or make you unique.
Hey, Jeff, I wanted to tell you, though, I'm glad it's a 7-point plan and not a 999 plan.
It's not a 999.
Thank you very much.
It's not a top 10 list either, so I can't put it to music. I don't know.
Very cool.
Thanks,
guys. We thank you very much for joining us.